It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You may be seated. I realized as I began to study this week that this verse of Scripture, as I had pointed out in our introduction to the book of Galatians, is the key verse, the pivotal verse. It's the transitional verse that goes from those things that are before it, the theological position, the theological understanding of the gospel of grace, the gospel that Paul was preaching and what he was trying to instill again into the church at Galatia, its understanding of freedom and liberty in Christ. It's the transition that takes from that into, okay, then, if that's the case, how do we live this life? How do we live this gospel of grace? It's the pivot of the book of Galatians. It is important that we focus on it just a little bit longer. As we closed out a couple of weeks ago, that message, it was verses 21 of chapter 4 all the way through verse 1, and we just closed out as that being the end of his conclusion, his argument, the end of it. It's the cap put on it that sealed his discussion of the theological position. But it is, I think, as I began to study, it's important for us to focus on this verse of Scripture before we go into the practical part of living out this life of freedom, this life of liberty. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And I want us to see a couple of, about three things, three points that I want us to see in this passage of Scripture. First, I want us to see that it is for the purpose of freedom. It is for the purpose of freedom. Not for any other purpose, but the purpose of freedom that Christ set us free. Those people in Galatia, not much different from us, as believers in Christ today, they had gone from the bondage of sin and paganism. Some had gone from the bondage of Judaism, the Jews, the laws of Moses. They'd gone from the bondage of being their life dictated by the elements of the world, the very principles of things that they lived around. And they were set free in Christ. But now, there was another teaching coming behind that freedom that was saying, in order for you to truly experience all that Christ is, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And for them, it was the area of the Mosaic Law. You need to be circumcised to be fully birthed into the family of God. You need to do this. You need to follow the law. You need to follow what Moses was talking about and teaching in order for you to truly experience the full blessing of God. And Paul, in his theological way of defining his purpose, defining his message and how he was called to preach that message and to proclaim that message and how it relates to the historical fact of Jews from Abraham on, and our birthrights, he says it was for freedom, not for bondage. It's not trading one bondage for another bondage. See, bondage is bondage. I mean, what would you rather be tied up with? A rope or a chain? What difference does it make? You're still tied up. And that's the point that he's saying. It was for the purpose of freedom. And the emphasis that's placed on that is that it is complete in Christ. Complete freedom in Jesus Christ. I studied this and up in the mountains, And you have to think in your own mind where your place of freedom may be. Some people it's sitting on a beach. Some people it's going to the lake. Water crossed every morning on the ground. Played in the snow. Got snowed on a couple of times. Let me see, where were we? It was my idea as I sat there and thought, this is freedom. I am sitting here in the majesty of the Purple Mountains. I'm sitting here in the grandeur of trees and rocks and rivers and snow. All that I see around me points to the majesty of God Himself. And I am so relaxed in it. This is freedom. And it came to me in that moment as I was sitting there, it was for freedom that Christ set me free. It was for this, sitting in Christ, so relaxed, so enjoying His majesty, His person, His surrounding. This is the purpose of what He did for me. So that I could experience, and you could experience, the very thing that He bought. Now, freedom and its completeness does not mean that there is a lack of boundaries. Because freedom always implies boundaries. And I thought about that up in my vacation. Yeah, I'll give you a lot of illustrations from vacation. I love the mountains. I love to do four-wheel drive trails. Stella stays back at camp. I don't get her much past the pavement. But I love to do four-wheel drive trails. And you go up way high and you do all the switchbacks and there's one-lane roads. And if you meet somebody, you have to back down sometimes. Or somebody has to finally try to find enough spot where you can get two vehicles just squeezed by without somebody falling off the edge. Now you see, I have freedom in enjoying the beauty of the majesty of the mountains that way. I have freedom, but I also have some boundaries. Now, those boundaries are that I better have four-wheel drive and I better have my foot on the brake. You know, I mean, I could have no limits. I mean, I could say, I don't want to take the switch back. I think I'll take the fast way down. I'll just point the thing down and head down. But you would, you know, there would be some consequences to that. You know, I mean, it might hurt a little bit. Me, the vehicle, and Joseph, and then, you know, if it didn't hurt me then, Stephanie would hurt me when I got home if it hurt Joseph. But we had a great time. But there are boundaries in the midst of freedom. And so the people, the Judaizers that were coming along and saying, oh, well, Paul's teaching that you can do anything you want to, and you don't... No, Paul says, no. What we're getting ready to do in the next two chapters is we're getting ready to talk about the boundaries. The boundaries that are there for your own protection. The boundaries are there so that you can truly experience the freedom that's there. Because it is for the purpose of freedom that Christ set us free. That is the focus point. We must never get past the purpose of freedom. We must never get into a place where we emphasize any aspect of the Christian life more than the purpose of freedom. Because it is there that we find the reality of Jesus Christ and the purpose of our life. So the purpose of freedom is complete, but not without boundaries. Then I want you to see the privilege of freedom. Who secured our freedom? Christ. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Christ secured it for us. As I sat there in the mountains and thought about this, I thought, boy, this is just phenomenal. To enjoy this the way I do. To have the freedom and the capability within that freedom to pack my bags and to hook onto a trailer and travel 14, 16 hours across country to a place of beauty, to stop almost all of my life. I mean, we called home a couple of times to the girls, but literally stopped. I didn't read a newspaper. I didn't watch a TV program. Listened to the radio a little bit. Read books. But almost shut myself away from the world outside my existence and existed solely in that mountainous ravine. And as I thought about that, there's only one reason I can enjoy this the way I do. And it's not because I secured this freedom. It's because before me in history, there was somebody, some people, that gave their life and energy and everything else to secure the opportunity that I would have to pack up and go and do what I choose to do in the area of a vacation and enjoy the freedom that I have. It was secured by those who fought in wars from the very beginning of the existence of this country. Well, is there anything I can do to secure the freedom that I already have? No. I just sat there in that chair by the campfire and enjoyed it. Christ secured our freedom completely. Upon the cross, 2,000 years ago, He gave His life and His blood so that we can enjoy freedom. And there's absolutely nothing you or I can do to make it any more secure. Just enjoy it. Now, the privilege of freedom is not without its boundaries also. Because I can enjoy this freedom as long as I am in America. I mean, if I choose to go to another country, I don't have the same freedom that I have here. For instance, some of those that went on missionary trip here last couple of weeks. And by the way, they're back in the States and okay. But they couldn't say, I'm an American. I can enjoy all the freedom I want here. No, you can't. The privilege of freedom is only found in the place of the free. And the privilege of freedom is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other place you can find this freedom. You can't find it in books. You can't find it in universities. You can't find it in intellect. You can't find it in preaching. You can't find it in singing. You can't find it in any other place than in Jesus Christ. The privilege of freedom is found in a person. And so many times we try to find the freedom and its privileges in everything else except Jesus Christ. I've done it in my life. I've got a library full of books that many times I've read those books searching for freedom. Searching for something. Not that it's wrong to do that. Many times I've found a lot of things in there. But freedom is not found in a book. Many times I've gone looking for experiences that would give me a sense of life in Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with the experiencing a life of Jesus Christ. But freedom is not found in an experience. It's found in a person named Jesus Christ. You see, I find that we could sit and march on Washington and we could do this and we could do that and we could do this and we could do that and never enjoy the very freedom that we have in America. And how many times do we do that as believers in Christ? We do many things and never stop and just enjoy the freedom in the relationship that Jesus Christ provided for us. It is a privilege to live in Christ. For me, it was in mountains that I sit and I listened to the brook running by and I see the mountains, I see the trees and the rocks and the snow-capped peaks. For you, maybe it's sitting on a beach and hearing the roar of the waves come in and the smell of the salt air. Maybe it's going to the lake and fishing and water skiing and the refreshness that it brings to your life and the relaxation that you get from that. It is a privilege to be able to enjoy that. But what about when it is time to be still and know that I am God? See, I think in that passage of Scripture, in conjunction with this one, is saying, experience the privilege of freedom in Christ and Christ alone. Stop trying to find it in all the other areas. Stop trying to secure it by any other provision. It is secured by Christ, and it is found in Him. Now, if I was a pantheist, I would say that God was those trees and those rocks and that valley and in the waters, and God was in all of those things, and I was in the midst of God. See, I'm not a pantheist. God is, and I'm in the midst of Him. And I can experience freedom, true freedom, the only true freedom, in that relationship and in that relationship alone. You see, I can't really find freedom in a relationship with a church. Although Stella leaned over to me a while ago and said, I love our church. I didn't realize how much we would miss it until we come back. And I feel the same way. Last weekend, I woke up. I mean, most of the time I woke up, didn't even know what day it was. I woke up last Sunday morning and I thought, I'd be getting ready to go to church, to be with people I love and to experience. But you know, as much as that joy is there, as much as that connection is there and this relationship is being built, if I try to substitute my experience of the person of Christ and finding freedom in Christ to try to find freedom in you, or if you try and find freedom in me, then we're putting each other in a place of a lose-lose situation, because freedom is only found in Christ. The third thing I want you to see is the protection of freedom. We do have a responsibility within this freedom, just as we do in America. You see, I know up there in the mountains, I have a responsibility for protection of the freedom that I have. That is that I need to take care of the resources that are there. That is that we don't throw trash everywhere and we try to stay on the roads that are cut and played out there, and we don't do the things that would tear up the environment so that somebody comes along and says you can't do this anymore because somebody before you has torn it up. Well, you see, we have a protection. We have a responsibility in protecting our freedom, and therefore Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, based upon that, based upon the position of freedom, keep standing firm. Our responsibility is to not secure freedom. Our responsibility is not to try to complete freedom. Our responsibility is to stay in freedom. We cannot perfect what God has already perfected. You see, we're not even working to make our freedom more free. We're not working to try and perfect the freedom. We're just staying in it. Stand firm in the freedom that God's already provided. The word stand firm means to plant yourself. It is the idea of a tree taking root and standing firm. While on vacation, see, I told you I was going to give you a lot of illustrations about vacation. While on vacation, we have this thing about one of the things that we do to protect our freedom is we don't go chopping down trees, you know. I mean, the trees are there, and the forest people take care of chopping down which trees need to be there. So we don't chop down trees. But you know, there are some trees that are standing up that are dead. But I still have this understanding that I don't even chop down dead trees. But you know, after those dead trees stand there long enough, the roots finally decay away. And I found one of those this week that, you know, you could just lean on it real heavy and it fell over. And once it's on the ground, you can chop it up all you want to, but you can't chop it up while it's still standing, you know. Well, those roots were gone. What makes the difference between that tree and the tree that's standing that you could push on all day long and it wouldn't budge is the root is standing firm. It's holding it to the ground where it is. And my brothers and sisters, we have to stand firm. That's our responsibility, is to plant ourselves in the freedom of Christ and say, I will not be moved from this place. I will not be pushed over from this place. You see, there will always be hecklers coming along trying to sell tickets. Whether they're OSU graduates or OU graduates, doesn't make any sense. But there will always be people who are trying to sell tickets to say that you can get closer to the main man. You can get closer to the head guy. All you've got to do is do, and you'll enjoy it more if you do this. You can't perfect it. Stand firm in freedom. And then he says, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now then, this implies two things, okay, in the use of the language. Number one, it implies that there are those who are actively trying to harness those who are free and put them back into a place of slavery. Did you hear me? There are those who are actively trying to harness those who are free and trying to put them back into a place of slavery, a yoke of slavery. Interesting, in the rabbinical writings, in the writings of the rabbis, it was an honor to be yoked to the law of Moses. In fact, in their writings, that's what they talked about. It was honorable to be yoked, to have that yoke put upon that burden, that beast of burden, and to carry that load of the law of Moses. And the rabbinical writings, they talked about it as honorable to be yoked to the law of Moses and to fulfill every word it talked about. Jesus said, if you want to be yoked with me, my yoke's not heavy. My yoke's light. And if you're heavy, burdened down already, people have come by and placed something on your shoulders that's burdened you down, has yoked you with slavery, get rid of it and come and take my yoke upon you. It's light because it's free. There are those who are actively trying. Believe me, even in our midst, it's no different. 2,000 years ago, the Judaizers came along behind Paul in the churches of Galatia and tried to yoke up the free with slavery again. And they didn't say, reject Jesus and do it this way. They said, accept Jesus and do it this way. And Paul says it was still slavery. And there are those in our present day Christendom that will try to yoke the free into slavery again. And they are actively doing it. And whether they know what they're doing or not is immaterial. Our responsibility is to plant ourselves in the freedom of Christ and not be moved. There's another implication in this language that's used here, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, and that is that we are harnessed back into slavery when we passively let someone else put a yoke on us. And I would say that that's one of our biggest dangers in the Christian life, is to passively, Now, what do I mean by that, and what do I think the Scripture means by that is, the word subject means, it's not this idea of be subject to one another. The word subject here means to be held in, to be corralled. And what I mean by passively is that we sometimes are corralled by a teaching or by a charisma of a person. We passively don't stop and think. And as Christians, for some reason, early on, somehow in the middle of this century, it was almost as if becoming a Christian meant taking your brain out and setting it up on the mantle and don't think anymore. Just have faith. And don't think anymore. And the Christian life is a life of thinking. It is a life of introspection, and it is a life of inspection. Introspection is what is going on in me. And inspection is what is being told me. And for so long, I think that we sit and we listen to preachers and we listen to teachers and we listen to professors and we listen to whoever was talking, and we passively thought it sounds good, and we passively let someone corral us in and put a yoke of slavery on us, rather than just simply looking in and saying, the sign over the door says it's free. Why would I want to buy a ticket? The head guy, he's going around shaking hands with everybody. Why do I need a ticket? It doesn't seem that it matters where you're seated. You see, we have listened and passively lost our firm hold on freedom. And so there's two things that I think we have to do in response to this passage of Scripture as Paul goes into the future. The next two chapters, we're going to look at practically living out this life of freedom. Two things we have to do. Number one, without being judgmental and suspicious. Okay? Without being judgmental and suspicious, inspect everything that's being taught us. Now, I'm not sure how to do that. We're all on a journey together. But I do know that judgment and suspicion will be roadblocks to relationships. So without being judgmental and suspicious, we inspect everything that's being taught us in the name of Christ. And the second thing that we do is we do not passively live our Christian life. We do not be passive about our Christian life. We enjoy it to its fullest extent. And we understand the boundaries that God gives us. He gives us very clear-cut boundaries. And everything that's not a clear-cut boundary is available for option. But we don't passively live our Christian life. When I'm up there riding those four-wheel mountain trails, I do have a problem with sightseeing sometimes. But when that road narrows, and there's a 1,000 to 2,000 foot drop-off on the side, I'm not passively driving down that road. I'm very active. I may be only going 2 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, but I'm very actively driving. I'm paying attention. I'm looking at the chug holes. I'm looking at the rocks. I'm looking at the side. Passengers can look around. They're passive. We don't live our Christian lives as passengers. We live them as drivers.